So those are shocking words. What in the world was Jesus doing? Now, I have stood in this pulpit in the time that I've been blessed to be here, and I have preached loving Jesus and healing Jesus and welcoming Jesus and inclusive Jesus and resurrected Jesus and forgiving Jesus. Last month I preached about the geometry of Jesus. But the words of this scripture this morning are calling upon me to preach a different kind of Jesus to you. This morning, I want to introduce you to Chainsaw Jesus. I mean, look at what Jesus is saying. Cut it off, chop it off, pluck it out. What in the world is going on here? Well, what's going on is that Jesus was not only exasperated with his followers, and maybe sometimes even enraged with his followers that they just didn't get it, but he wanted to make exaggerations. Because he thought, if I exaggerate the truth of God's scripture, that maybe they will get it. See, the question with Jesus was to bring followers to God. And then throughout Jesus' life, he encountered people that wanted to introduce stumbling blocks and obstacles to bringing followers to God. The Pharisees introduced stumbling block after stumbling block after obstacle to keep people away from Jesus. And maybe Jesus could have put up with that, but when his own disciples were doing it, that's when he became Chainsaw Jesus. So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, lift up this community so we may open our hearts and minds and eyes and ears and hands to welcome and just remove stumbling blocks to your kingdom that are being placed in front of us and in front of our loved ones every day. Help us to do this work in Jesus' name. Amen. So what would Jesus do, being exasperated and frustrated? Well, he might do what many people today do when they have something to say. Maybe Jesus would write a book. Now, I got to thinking about this, and in 1936, Dale Carnegie wrote a book entitled How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that book has 30 million copies in print. Well, what if Jesus wanted to write a book to win followers and keep his followers from putting obstacles in front of other followers? He might have written a book called How to Win Friends and Influence Followers of God, subtitled Say No to Stumbling Blocks. Because if we look at this text, it gets more and more gory. From verse 42 to verse 47, we have the words, hang a millstone, cut off your hand, cut off your foot, pluck out your eye. Jesus was so wanting people to understand that we, as followers of Jesus, can lift people up, or we can put people down by our actions. And I want to make something clear. In our text this morning, verse 42, it says, if anyone causes these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble. When Jesus used the words little ones, he's not necessarily talking about children, but he is talking about people who want to believe in Jesus, who are new followers of Jesus. People whose faith is still growing. And especially, Jesus does not want these new faithful people to be turned away, to be dissuaded, to be pushed aside. So let's go back to this imaginary book that Jesus might have written. And maybe the first chapter might have been called, "Do You Have a Humble Attitude?" Because if you remember in our gospel last week, Mark 33 to 36, the disciples were arguing about who will be greatest in heaven. And Jesus said in verse 35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all." The disciples had this weird, crazy, egotistic, immature attitude. They were vying for who was going to be greatest in heaven. That immaturity was a kind of stumbling block that Jesus was warning about. And if you recall, last week I talked about how Jesus embodied a life of insignificant greatness. Insignificant greatness. Servant greatness. Second chapter in Jesus' book might be called, "Do You Live with Genuine Openness?" Because again, we look at our text this morning, and the disciples were like, "We don't get it." "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." All right. First, the disciples are competing against each other, and now they're competing against other people. What kind of stumbling block are they putting in front of a person who wants to be a follower of Jesus? That person who cast out demons was doing it in Jesus' name. He was a follower of Jesus. And yet the disciples were so arrogant and immature that they just did not get it. And the third chapter of this imaginary book of Jesus might be called, "Do You Offer True Hospitality?" You see, Jesus ate with and or loved sinners, tax collectors, Gentiles, the sick, the deformed, the demon-possessed, the outcast. I don't have the person who said this in my head, but years ago I saw this wonderful quote, "If in the scriptures you were going to draw a line in society between different groups, you would always find Jesus on the outside of that line, not the inside." And so looking at this stumbling block of not offering hospitality, not being open, I found this wonderful phrase. And this was a phrase that we don't use today, well, not in the West, they use it sometimes in the Middle East. It's called, "There is bread and salt between us." Bread and salt between us. It's a phrase that emphasizes and embodies and encourages removing stumbling blocks. So, you know, as we look at the Gospel of Mark and these chapters that we've been reading in the Gospel of Mark the last several weeks, they give us the idea again and again that the disciples just didn't get it. And so we have to ask, are those disciples ever going to learn? But you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we would have to ask ourselves, are we ever going to learn? Are we caught up in a culture that celebrates stumbling blocks? I mean, we can look back at the Jewish people, and the Jews did not like the Gentiles' stumbling block. But does our culture put stumbling blocks up just because it's good for ratings? Good for getting clicks on the internet? Good for getting followers on the internet? How did life-saving public health measures like masks and vaccinations become stumbling blocks? When did welcoming the poor immigrant to our country become a stumbling block? I'm here because of poor immigrants coming to this country with only the clothes on their back. You know, the Statue of Liberty puts this really succinctly. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. The French sculptor that built the Statue of Liberty did a scouting trip to America to decide where to place the statue. And as he sailed into New York Harbor, there was an island there, right at the middle in the opening of the harbor. And he thought, that is the place where liberty can shine on the people coming in. And yet now that's a stumbling block. So what stumbling blocks can you identify in yourselves, in your family? Every family has them. Thanksgiving is coming up. You'll be confronting them. Maybe now's a good time to identify them, kind of diffuse them. Or in your workplace, or in your community. So if you're examining your life, trying to see stumbling blocks and understanding how to remove them without cutting off your hand, your foot, plucking out your eye, I want to give you something to think about. Now, it says over and over again in the Bible, and you learned this in Sunday school, over and over again, we are children of God. But I have to wonder sometimes, are we doing ourselves a disservice by calling us children of God? Clearly we are. But what if we referred to ourselves as sisters and brothers in Christ? You see, in my mind, a child doesn't have to do much except be cute. They don't have a lot of responsibilities. They're very young, probably not even in school, maybe not potty trained. They don't have to think about stuff. I'm a child, I'm a baby. And maybe if we're thinking of ourselves as children, we are not taking on what we could in God's kingdom. But if we consider ourselves sisters and brothers in Christ, those of you with sisters and brothers, how many times did your parents encourage you to help your sister, help your brother, lift them up, be kind to them, serve them first, share with them? I'm not saying we're not children of God. Yes, we are. But we are also, that leads us into being sisters and brothers. And I love that imagery because sisters and brothers take care of each other, are deeply connected to each other, and look out for each other. That phrase that I lifted up, bread and salt between us, the Bible several times mentions salt. Jesus mentioned it in our reading. It's mentioned in the Old Testament also. And people back then valued salt. It was a precious commodity. And they saw salt as a symbol of a covenant and of a relationship. In the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 19, whatever you set aside is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord. And in the New Testament, when the followers of Jesus gathered continually to break bread together, people who welcomed strangers and even friends breaking bread together would say, there is bread and salt between us. And they would say this at a meal as they were passing around the seasoning and sharing the food and sharing the fellowship. And there is bread and salt between us became a phrase that embodied that connection and that love and that relationship. So Jesus is calling us in this text and throughout the gospel to celebrate and affirm all our relationships, divine relationships, human relationships, by removing those stumbling blocks. So we can create opportunities over and over to have bread and salt between us. So you remember those three imaginary chapters I said Jesus might write? Do you have a humble attitude? Jesus is talking about living an insignificantly great life, being a servant. Do you live with genuine openness? Well, are we truly sisters and brothers and living into that connection in Christ? And do you offer true hospitality? In other words, is there bread and salt between us? And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, we are doing this in our lives. And I just want to lift up, in the last 2 weeks, it came up that St. Luke's Bellevue wanted to restart their food pantry. And in that time, due to the efforts of members of our community, that food pantry has been restarted and restocked. We are reaching out to our sisters and brothers in St. Luke Bellevue. We are sharing bread and salt, and the food pantry there, as ours, is enabling strangers to come in and be served by us and by your donations and your prayers. So, are we working to remove the scandalons? Now, scandalon is the Greek word that we translate as stumbling blocks between us. I pray that we are, because otherwise, Chainsaw Jesus is coming back. And he's coming for you. I'm sorry, sometimes I just have to veer into that way. So, God offers us grace and love and forgiveness that we may live lives of insignificant greatness, serving our sisters and brothers in Christ in the fellowship of having bread and salt between us, in any way and in every way. And we praise God that we are able to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.